My name is Max, and I'm here in studio. We're on a fake train, and we're headed to 2022. This is the last train going there, so you should get on board. And I'm here with Dr. Susan Block. And if you don't know who she is, I'm not going to tell you. Just go to Google and look her up, and you'll find all kinds of wonderful and interesting things about her and myself and the rest of the crew here. And tonight, I'm going to talk about censorship and censorship and censorship. Dr. Susie has a whole other thing that she's going to talk about. Correct, Dr. Susie?
Well, right now, I'm just waiting for the train.
Oh, are you waiting for me to finish?
No, I'm waiting for the train. I'm here to take a train.
Do you have your bags?
To Halloween.
Do you?
2021. Bonobooville.
Are you carrying any baggage?
No. Yeah, I'm always carrying baggage.
Because if you got baggage, there's a baggage car.
And I have a pet wolf.
And you have a pet wolf, too. I don't know if that's allowed on Amtrak, but maybe.
This wolf's okay.
Oh, no, what a wolf's all right. It's just listen. What car is he in? I'm not going back there.
He's in my car, honey.
He's in your car. I ain't going in your car, baby.
I'm in the sleeper car.
Okay, and you're listening to, right now,
somebody named Mafia 98 says, how about a Max smoothie and a Susan kiss?
Max smoothie.
All right.
Okay, we're at the car bar. We're not on, we're there. Let's get this train rolling along.
You can mix up a nice Jim Beam smoothie back there.
I can do that.
And I'll give you a kiss, Mafia. Mm. Mwah.
Here we go. All aboard. We're in the bar car. If you're interested, you can join us there.
And we're getting ready for Halloween. It's Kink Month. And the kinkiest holiday of the year is Halloween. And we're talking about Halloween fantasies and spooky realities. And one of those spooky realities would be censorship. That's a spooky reality.
That's a spooky.
The way that it is coming down on us like a big dark cloud.
Ooh.
Covering up all of our feelings as well as body parts. And words, all these words. Censorship is very spooky, but there are other spooky things, and there's so much spooky stuff these days. But it is almost Halloween, and around Halloween, fear is fun. Fear is sexy. Kind of. A little bit. Just a bit of fear. Pinch of fear gets your mojo in gear. But too much makes you impotent or too scared. What are you afraid of?
Me?
That also turns you on.
That also turns me on.
Yeah.
That turns me on.
A sexy stranger is a classic thing.
Okay, that's a good one. Thank you.
A sexy stranger is appealing, attractive, hot.
And scary.
And scary, exactly. Especially nowadays.
Because you don't know if they're going to shoot you or knife you.
And Halloween is a time that's so sexy. I mean, the costumes, people get to express their erotic personas or maybe comic personas, maybe a mix. But they can also conceal a weapon. There's the turn on and there's the fear. What was your favorite Halloween?
I never liked Halloween. It was was really scary, and so I wouldn't go out to get candy. I'd sit at home.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
And I'd eat all the candy.
You're a scaredy cat.
Yeah, but I ate the candy that we bought for the Halloween kids.
Ooh.
So I didn't have to go out. I eat my own candy. You ever hear that?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's
eat your own candy.
Sort of
kid.
Like capitalism.
A little bit like capitalism, right.
You fuck the rich. They eat their own candy.
Oh, we forgot to say that this is... what.
Well, because, you know, we're doing all kinds of things
because
here.
Because I'm absent-minded.
Yeah. Okay, but, so what is this?
This is FDR Radio, which stands, of course, for...
Fuck the Rich.
Fuck the Rich.
It also stands for Franklin Delano Roosevelt, our 32nd president of the United States, who wasn't perfect, but he was fairly socialist. At least he tried to share the wealth that had been accumulated by the robber barons and was going to just spell the end of the great American experiment. And so he instituted all these wonderful socialistic sort of programs that didn't benefit everybody, but they did benefit a lot of people, and we certainly need more benefits now. So we are FDR. And one way we get those benefits is to fuck the rich. See, we're not even eating you. We're doing something nice. I know. The F word can mean so many different things. But we mean it in a nice way. Although, fear begins with F. The fears of Halloween are almost with us. Halloween fantasies and spooky realities. Do you have any Halloween fantasies, Mel? We didn't even introduce Mel, or did you?
Oh, no, Mel. We're also here in the bar car with Mel and an unseen guy.
Right. Well, it's Halloween, so you can be unseen.
That's
people are supposed to wear masks.
Put your masks
on. And you should wear a mask. I wonder if the anti-maskers are going to refuse to wear even a Halloween mask.
Ah, yes.
So do you have a favorite Halloween costume or Halloween time?
Yeah, when I snuck out of my parents' house... as a teenager to be Catwoman, because my parents would not let me celebrate Halloween because I grew up as a Jehovah Witness.
Oh,
so
right.
I was naughty. I was a rebel.
You were.
Oh, yeah.
That was exciting.
Yes. Oh, very much so. It was very taboo.
And yet, in those days, which was like, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago.
Sure.
It was sort of felt safer. And I don't know if I'd encourage people to do that right now.
I know
you couldn't get shot by a...
I was a cat burglar.
Neighbor that thinks you're a burglar.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I was a little creepy, but somehow I got out of the house. I don't know if it was the window or the back door, but I left and I snuck out with my friend and went, I don't know, did Halloween stuff. And it felt great.
Trick or treat.
Yes.
I like that you have the choice. You could do sex work or you can make tacos. Treats.
Turn a trick.
Or both.
You can do sex work with your taco. By the way, Mafia 98 says the only weapon I have is 9 inches BBD.
Whoa,
wow, that's a pretty
powerful
weapon. Sativa spliff. Smoothie go champ. I'm not sure if this is all one sentence or several.
Smoothie.
And Dinah Rose is saying, hey, Dr. Susan, I am a new therapist of yours, and I am genuinely enjoying my job. Genuinely, okay?
That's not very good.
Being
Thank
paid
you.
To say this, I don't think. keep up the good work. Thank you, Dinah Rose. All right, everybody
should give us
a call here at the Dr. Susan Block Institute. If you have a scary fantasy that perhaps you should not live out in real life, perhaps you would like to kind of explore it with one of our therapists like Dinah Rose. And the number to call is 213-291-9497.
And if you're too scared to call or tell us the fantasy on live program, you can call our number where you can leave us messages.
Well, wait, what I just said was not about the program. Oh. That was about calling for therapy, which is private.
Right,
so you
that's
don't
private.
Have to be scared. Right. I mean, you might be scared.
It's Halloween. You have to be scared.
Well, that's why, I mean, you could be a little bit scared. Wait. But don't be too scared. A little bit of fear is okay. I got to do my little Halloween poem I can explain
all
of that.
Why don't you do that?
Okay, but first I want to say that Cartrell Payne says, sexy.
Oh, thank you. Right. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. Some people think that whatever is scary is sexy. Some people think the sexiest thing to do is to watch horror movies. I'm going to do my Halloween poem, which I do every year. Imagine me in a witch's hat riding a broom that has a dildo on one end and a vibrator in the middle. Okay, so I'm riding that around the room and literally riding. Let me tell you, it is modeled, actually, our magic dildonic vibrating broom on the old Harry Potter broom, which was marketed to children. Now, I do not market my broom to children. It is for adults that like to play. And so this broom, you know, the kids were spending like hours in their room riding their broom. So they had to withdraw it from the market, Mattel or whoever made it. And so I saw that and I went, whoa, I want one of those, but they were gone. So I had to create my own. And now we're just looking for the right Chinese factory or American factory or Korean. We'll take the squid factory out there.
But
no shooting, okay? Just building our vibrating brooms.
Yeah.
So Chloe is saying, hey, doctor, I'm Chloe, and I love work with your institution. We're not an institution. That would be someplace you send someone who needs electroshock therapy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we are becoming an institution in the sense that we're becoming a legend in our own mind.
Certainly.
But this is the Dr. Susan Block Institute.
Toot.
Oh, she does already work. I love working. She doesn't mean I love to work.
She's one of her therapists.
I love working with your institution. And, you know, she should know it is an institution for the wacky. I'm certainly wacky, and I'm the main one here. So it has allowed me to explore myself in new ways that I never thought I could. Excellent, Chloe. Well,
Very good.
The people that get the most therapy out of therapy are always the therapists. I find that that is really true, especially if I'm in the dumps, so to speak. And I don't mean the toilet dumps, because people might think I mean that. I mean just if I'm depressed. I find that helping others always brings me out. And also, of course, I learn things. So it's great. And it's always good to know that somebody else is more miserable than you. No, I'm just kidding about that. I hope that my clients are happy. And some of them are. They just have questions. They're very happy, healthy people, except the depressed ones.
Yeah. And there, again, she says she's learning a lot, which,
yes,
of course, you would, because the ideal is the enemy of the real. So Playboy and all these magazines, glamour magazines, have made it all so, and it's not that way at all, okay? People have really amazing things in their head that they talk about. Isn't that correct? Yep.
Certainly the ideal is the enemy of the real, but we need both in our life.
Yes, of course.
And just like we need fantasy and reality.
Well, we need real food.
Food should be real. Although, on the other hand, if, for instance, you need to lose weight, maybe better to fantasize about eating a whole birthday cake than actually doing it.
Yeah, and that's okay. That's very deep.
Right.
Deep
so
and sweet.
Very often, fantasy is better to just explore something in the erotic theater of the mind, or just the plain old theater of the mind. When it comes to sex, certainly, but also certainly when it comes to violence. If you have violent fantasies, better to fantasize about it than do it.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Yeah, and don't go on any road trips.
At all.
At all.
Even if you're just fantasizing. But if you can learn to separate your fantasy and reality, and maybe even explore your violent fantasies through consensual BDSM, you're leading a good life. You're okay. So, my Halloween pretties.
You're going to read your poem?
I'm going to do the poem. I don't have to read it. I know it by heart.
Okay. Yeah.
It's in my heart.
Wow. It's in my heart. That's why I love you.
I love you, too.
I knew it.
All right. So give me a wolf howl to get me going, baby.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners, witches and bitches, vamps and tramps, masked men of mystery, role-playful women through history, belladonnas and erotic personas, as nights grow long from the witch's hex, let us enter the realm of scary sex. There, there, darling, don't be afraid. 'Tis the season of masquerade. So come all ye witches, ye dark brides and grooms. 'Tis the time to hop on your broom. Fly past your fears and over the years of oppression, repression, being burned at the stake, stoned by the shake, or drowned in the lake. Time to rise up, ye sexual renegades. Join the erotic insurgent masquerade. Straddle your flying phallic strap-on brooms. Turn on your vibrators to the moon. Fly high in the sky to that wild domain where the witches reign as goddesses and protesters, as femdoms and love doctors. Time to put on your party mask along with your daily mask. Time to reveal what you so often conceal. Your erotic persona, your inner belladonna, your secret identity, your scary sex entity, your evil twin, the wizard within. Time to awaken, stirred and shaken, your heart beating like a bongo, your blood rushing like the Congo. Maybe you meet someone who looks kind of scary, a witch, a bitch, a cop, a fairy. When out of the clear, with a flick of the tongue, those shivers of fear turn to passion and fun. Mixing fear and sex creates special effects. See, what turns us on isn't always the nicest, so we're often afraid of just what excites us. Or are we excited by that which we fear? Both, my dear. It's biological, it's neurological, and it can be pathological. So be careful, consensual, practice safe sex, and don't overdo, and stir this recipe into your witch's brew. A pinch of fear gets your mojo in gear, like heat in your mesquite, but too much fear burns your meat. Stick that in your bag of trick or treat. Don't get Zoom dick confusion like Jeffrey Toobin, but this Halloween, or sometime soon, take a trip to the moon on your vibrating broom. Join the erotic insurgent masquerade. Wear that sexy mask. Don't be afraid. Your inner witch won't hurt you. Unless you really want me to. Boo! Season's beatings from Boonobooville.
Nice. Yay.
Right. Very nice. Very good. Okay.
Spooktacular.
I wrote that, created that, like, in 2008.
I love it.
But I added the Jeffrey Toobin line last year.
Lately.
Yeah, just last year. But nothing else. Everything else is from 2008. That's why there's nothing about Trump. I think one year I did say something about Trump.
I was not involved in
that. I decided to take that
out. That creative process.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people don't... She's a great poet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a really fine poet and theater person.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Were you going to say a lot of people don't know that?
Well,
You said a lot of people.
That's no,
multi-talented.
No.
They just think I'm a Susie Floozy.
That's what.
and I certainly am. All of that. And being a poet is part of that, mm-hmm. aren't
absolutely
the greatest mm-hmm. floozies poets?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. How are you going to floose if you can't choose your words?
You know.
I like it.
You know. I'm going to sing a song for you.
Yeah, go ahead. It's talent night. And we used to do that on Halloween, right? We would have these little shows that we would do as our costumes.
I mean,
well, maybe
not
you
me,
didn't do
yeah.
it. I feel so bad. Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah, it was.
And so was Michael Jackson, who was one of my favorite.
We have a lot in common.
Singers and, of course, a lunatic. And,
we all are crazy. The best ones.
I don't mean all Jehovah's Witnesses are. I'm just Michael Jackson. But I think a brilliant, great lunatic. Yeah, and
exactly. I agree.
And most great people are lunatics.
Exactly.
You know.
Captain Max, you got that.
And
I'm just going to say it real fast. I don't think he had sex with those kids.
He didn't.
That's that.
That's a witch hunt. We're not going to go into that, you know.
Okay, Mafia. This guy is, like, totally our friend.
What is he saying?
He's on Instagram here.
What did he say?
I can only see Max. When does Susan hit the screen? I am naked, Mafia.
Ah!
And so I can't go on because Instagram would cut us off.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm hanging out here naked by the fireside on my bearskin rug with nothing on but a witch's hat. And I got my vibrating broom.
And, you know, later on after the show, you can go watch a great rerun from, when is that from, Dr. Susie?
A rerun. Oh, yes, I do have a rerun. I don't like calling them reruns.
I like that.
That sounds like you
I'm older
have
than
to
you.
Take Kaopectate.
Hey, don't be mean to old people.
I prefer to call them throwbacks.
Throwbacks.
That's dangerous when you get old. You throw your back out
and
you're fucked.
I think I've already done that, been there, and ready for the next level.
Be very careful with the throwbacks.
But that's what this is. It's a throwback or a rerun. It's from that year. I seem to be doing throwbacks for the last few weeks from 2016, perhaps because it was just before the Trumpocalypse.
Maybe. Jeez. Yeah.
And there was a certain innocence. We were certainly worried about the Trumpists getting in there. We were not too sanguine. And we're not big louvers of Hillary. But yes, we supported her. I voted for her. We voted for her. And we have a little mask of hers right in the center of our tableau in this fantastic Halloween show. And it was really the climax of a fantastic kink month. And we have been playing some of these throwbacks from that kink month throughout this kink month. And this one had so many stars and my magic dildonic vibrating broom. And let's see, who is here? Well, Gypsy Bonobo, of course, is right in the center. And Mistress Ava. And China Doll,
China Doll.
Mistress Freudian Slit.
Oh my gosh.
I love that name.
It's a great name.
It's a great name.
That's really good.
Just love
very
that
clever.
Name. And Ikor.
Hey, Ikor.
And let's see, also the late, great Jackie Blue. Right, and in fact, in this video, this show, this amazing Halloween bacchanal in Bonobo-ville, she really has a climaxed. Dressed as a nun, she takes a sex machine dildo that's about the size of Ikor's arm up her trick-or-treat bag. Well, it's not a bag, but, you know, trick-or-treat wrapper something. Oh. Anyway, she took it. She took it good. It belonged to Cricket Rose. And Cricket Rose is smiling, having already deflowered, is not sufficient to say what she did to Jackie, who is dressed as a nun. And she is looking very disheveled here. You see it through the video. It's quite kinky. This is kink month, and she does have a climax. And there are other climaxes to be had on this show, but this was certainly a dramatic one. And Shannon Coronado, you remember Shannon.
Shannon.
Dressed as a unicorn. She was very active in that show. And I remember she was giddy. And we were all kind of nervous about the election. And she was like this very giddy state. And in fact, at a certain point, she kind of told us that if anything happened, she still loved us. And of course, we later found out that she was a Trump supporter.
Yes.
And we love Shannon as we love Tammy. Honestly, I don't know what percentage, but maybe 20% of our friends from Bonobo-ville are Trump supporters. So this is why I do have hope that we can love one another. I really do. And I saw how eroticism could bring us together. And now it's tougher. I mean, eroticism has brought me and lots of people together for many years. And lately, because of COVID, it's not. And maybe it's also because of the atmosphere being even spookier than before. Like before, we didn't worry about somebody coming in with a gun. Now, I think if we had an event, we'd have to frisk people or something.
Well, I mean,
which might be fun for a lot of our guests.
I did get knifed.
You did?
I did.
It wasn't actually during a show.
It wasn't during a show.
It was after.
It was an after show.
An after show, yes.
Dang. All right.
And that's quite a story. But we prevailed.
Yes, we did.
Yes, we did.
I have a hernia now from the stab. And but we're here. We're alive.
Okay, so Mafia is now getting provocative in his statements.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Because he can see that it's his show tonight, too. Mm-hmm. So now he says two provocative statements. I'm not sure which to say first. Maybe I'll start with the politics and then move on to the sex.
The politics and the sex, yes.
Okay,
yes.
He's got a political statement here and a sex question.
Okay.
So the political statement is kids will probably be forced to show vaccination info to get Halloween candy door to door, lol. Mm-hmm. So, to me, he's kind of mocking the vaccination effort, which I take issue with. Although I will say this, I wouldn't be going door to door right now. I don't care, vaccine or no vaccine, mask or no mask. I would not be going door to door unless I knew the neighbors. Okay, if you know these people, go.
That's one thing I learned when I was a kid. I ain't going out there. It's fucking dark.
I went to strangers' houses. Hey, when I was a kid, I hitchhiked all over town.
I know.
I hitchhiked down to Mexico. I'm a pretty courageous person in my diminutive way. But I don't know. maybe it is my cougar advanced age, or maybe the world has changed a bit. But you go out and you try to have an adventure, have a little van life, for instance, with a guy you grew up with, and you think, great, this is going to be great. We're going to have a...
He asked me to marry him. I said, yes.
We're taking a trip through the greatest parks of America, and we're showing it off on Instagram. And aren't we fantastic? I would have done that. I totally would have done that.
Yeah, right. No, you're right.
And look what happened to her. I don't want to say look what happened, because I do want to encourage people to have adventures. I think it's terrible that this violence is going on. And that is why I try to encourage people to follow the Bonobo Way and honor sexuality, consensual sexuality, of course. I feel like I have to say that.
And honor other people and protect other people.
Yes, yes.
We're the humans.
And stop honoring violence.
Everywhere.
My goodness.
Everywhere is fucking killing.
Killing.
And murder and mayhem.
It's a great show. We just saw Squid, the first show, Squid Game. A lot of violence. Of course, the violence has a point, and it's anti-violence in the message. It's not gratuitous violence. And it's not like the good guys are committing the violence, which is the case with all of the comic book shows you love so much. And you know who you are, all of you.
Geeks.
Yep. Those comic book shows, I tell you, I think they're...
One me.
I love it.
No, one you. Drink some Corona.
Corona. Yeah. They don't pay us for this, by the way. Yeah, see, because it's backwards.
They should.
Corona.
Corona, Corona.
I think people should get vaccinated. Do I think people should be... forced? No, I don't think anyone should be forced. But if a company wants to have a mandate, sure. If somebody's at their house and they want to say, show your vaccination papers, they should know that someone will probably shoot them. But okay, I think they have a right to say that, but I wouldn't say that if I were them. I would not even open the house. Have a lot of nice decorations. Have some candy outside. I don't know. It's nerve-wracking.
I agree with you somewhat, but mostly I agree with you. But the mandate shit that people come up with, everything is mandated, man. You can't drive a car without a license.
Well, that's true.
You can't go to school without a vaccination right now. Right. As we talk about our freedom to choose, you're not choosing for yourself. You might be killing me. You got that?
I always think of it as like driving drunk.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You can drink, and you should drink at home and don't go out.
Yeah, but...
Or drink at the bar and stay there.
Yeah, but don't go out there with weapons of mass destruction, germ warfare, and kill people.
Yep. So anyway, we love you, but I don't know if we get your joke.
No,
okay, Mafia now would like to know, would cuckolding Max excite and cheer you up tonight, Susan? Well, let me just say, Mafia, it might, but not with you with your little crack about the vaccination, that's for sure. But I'm always cuckolding Max. I'm always having, certainly, virtual sex. I do it with you guys on the radio. Oh. And I can see Max is a little bit jealous, but also a little bit turned on. And that's how he is about my flirtations, my actual sex with people. When we used to have bacchanals, I certainly would get all in on the orgies. And yeah, I enjoy it. But it's not as though I need cheering up. Excite and cheer you up. I did say that when I get depressed, I like to help people. Yes, that I did say. And so maybe he is thinking I'm always depressed. But no, Mafia, I'm not always depressed. And actually, if I am depressed, cuckolding would probably not be the solution to that.
Yeah.
But it is exciting. It is exciting. I'm a cuckolding specialist, actually. And we are all cuckolding specialists here at the Dr. Susan Block Institute. It seems to be like the kink of the century, or maybe the millennium, because Chaucer certainly was all about the cuckolding, and so has a lot of literature throughout history. It's an exciting sort of twist. And as Max himself often says, who would want to be married to a woman that nobody wants? You want to know that your woman or man or spouse is desirable. Whether or not you act on that is another story. But that should keep you jealous people a little in check, please, is take a step back and think, what do you want? To have a lover that nobody else is interested in?
Good point.
I really don't think you want that. I think that you just think that it's embarrassing to have your spouse or your lover flirt with somebody else or have sex with somebody else or look at somebody else, because then they might think you don't have control of that person. Yes. And that is behind a lot of jealousy. I strongly feel that a lot of jealousy isn't so natural from deep within. It's from what people might think. So think about that, because Halloween is a time of great flirtation. You dress up. In fact, one thing that's fun to do for couples like me and Max is to dress up, and even if just one of you dresses up, and then you pretend that the other person is somebody else. So it's like you're having sex with somebody else.
But it's actually the same person, just a fantasy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that is exciting. I get excited just talking about it. I mean, it's exciting to be with someone different, to explore the unknown, the darkness. The darkness is always more exciting than the light. It's good to see what's going on in the light. In the darkness, bad things can happen. But the darkness is erotic. It also hides the imperfections. I don't know if that answers your question, Mafia, but I probably deflated your 9-inch candy corn. I do appreciate your interaction. And as I said, I do have a lot of friends and certainly a lot of clients and a lot of people in my life who I disagree with. Family, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even Max occasionally, although we agree about most things. So who died this week?
Oh, wow.
Since we're older people, we talk about death a lot.
Death a lot.
And actually in these days, there's a lot of death. And we just saw this Squid Game with a lot of death. And Colin Powell just died.
Oh, dang.
The sacred one.
The sacred war criminal.
Yes.
And he, to me, is scary in a way. Scarier than the other guy that died a few months ago, Donald Rumsfeld, because Donald Rumsfeld is so obviously a war criminal. He's like from central casting as the war criminal dude.
And he didn't apologize.
Right. And Colin Powell did.
Did apologize.
He apologized.
That's a very honorable.
More than once.
Yeah.
Many
times. Many times.
Because he was a thoughtful guy.
Because it haunted him.
And yes, he was haunted. He was...
And he was lied to.
A caring person, in a way, but a war criminal nevertheless. I got to emphasize that, and I got to emphasize that even though, yes, he exuded empathy in a way, I don't know if he was really that empathetic. He was a cool guy, but scary, because, honestly, he was a mass murderer. And it wasn't just one war. It was many wars, maybe more wars than any general, I think, starting with Vietnam, and not just participating in Vietnam, but helping to mask what went on at My Lai.
Yeah, and that was the...
With Lieutenant Calley.
Yeah, he backed Lieutenant Calley, and it was also a time where the words were being changed, you know, you bombed the village to save it.
Exactly, and he helped to create that type of message because he was so trustworthy.
Right.
As Jeffrey St. Clair, my Counterpunch editor, said, he was the confidence man. And who is the confidence man? The con man. He's the better con man than the obvious con man. Because Colin Powell conned the right and the left. He conned everybody. He conned me occasionally.
Great humans are great con people. That's how it works.
He was skilled,
no doubt. Yeah, of course.
Although he kept losing wars. Let's start with Vietnam, although we can't blame that on him. So then was Grenada. Okay, they won that one because, what did they bomb? A psychiatric hospital, I think.
I think so.
And everybody surrendered who wasn't dead. And then he got all involved in El Salvador and Nicaragua and mess of shit supporting dictators. And then, of course, his glory was the invasion of Iraq in Gulf War I with George Bush the First, who, that war maybe sort of wasn't as bad, but it was really bad. Wasn't as bad as the second Iraq war, but there
were dead people.
A lot of them.
A lot of dead people.
And mostly just guys that were running away.
Yeah.
It was called a turkey shoot. So Colin Powell was very involved in that. And yet, at the same time, the good thing, I guess, about Iraq was that we did leave. We didn't go forward and attack Baghdad. Although we did the sanctions, which were really harmful, super harmful. I used to think sanctions were a lot better than war.
No, sanctions are awful. They really...
But they are pretty bad.
Yeah, they inflict pain and misery and disease on the poorest of the poor in the world. That's not nice.
It's not nice, and yet, of course, somehow there's some hope, whereas when you're bombed by a drone, you're just gone. So, I don't know. I guess it's levels of evil. So, the next level of evil that General Powell participated in was Afghanistan, of course, and he was definitely in charge. Secretary of State, I guess, at that time. And then Iraq. And that was the worst, because that was where he used all of this goodwill that he had built up through his sheer charisma, because he'd been killing people. But yeah, I gave him a lot of credence myself. And he spoke before the UN, and everyone knew that Saddam did not have weapons of mass destruction. And yet, Colin Powell said he did. It was all a made-up story that originated in Tony Blair's brain. And Colin Powell just put it out there knowing it was made up. I think he knew. Later, he apologized, but tried to blame others. Tried to kind of very subtly, in his charming way, shift the blame to the other people, and succeeded to the extent that he was valued as a great statesman when it came time to endorse Obama. And of course, at that time, he became completely rehabilitated. And so now he is quite the fallen hero. But I say, war criminal. So, I appreciate your apology, but it doesn't make up for killing all those people. Millions.
You know, that reminds me real quick that in my family, I have a war criminal.
Right.
Like a major war criminal, you know, who killed just hundreds and hundreds of Sicilians.
And if Colin Powell had wanted to be on our show, I would have had him on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I like the guy. The guy's, I like him.
Yes. Like, yeah. I said, charming, charisma.
He's very
I felt
charming.
The charm.
He's very charming.
You and know, that's why I find him really scary.
And reassuring.
Because Rumsfeld I never liked.
He was a
And crack. Bush I never liked. And, of course, Cheney was the essence of evil.
Yeah, but, yeah, yeah, yeah. And but
Colin Powell was the one that made us feel okay. I mean, we still didn't believe that Saddam had any weapons of mass destruction. We didn't believe it. Colin Powell, you didn't convince me, thank goddess. However, you convinced other people, and that was tragic. Although, honestly, I think Bush and Cheney and team would have invaded, regardless of who went along with it.
The Bush and then all the people above there, they don't get their hands dirty. They don't know anything about it.
We have a phone call.
Oh, let's.
So we're going to get our hands dirty.
Okay.
With a phone call from Troy in Portland. Hello, Troy. Happy almost Halloween.
Dr. Susie, hello.
Hello.
I've read about you. By the way, I loved it. I loved hearing you say thank goddess. I didn't know that you were. I also worship a goddess.
I am a goddess.
Yeah, I would agree.
I'm into the goddess thing. I'm a witch. Anyway, Troy. Troy, so you've been tuned in to me
for
a bit.
Yeah. One day when I can afford it, I'll actually be consulting with your service because it interests me. Tonight I have.
Oh,
tonight,
okay. Privately, you mean.
Tonight I do have a question for you though, because I really need to get this off my chest. This has been killing me for 5 years now. Okay.
All right, get it off that chest. So, take off those nipple clamps and release.
So, okay, I'm a fiercely jealous person. I've been monogamous my whole life. About 5 years ago, in the midst of a decidedly fairly destructive relationship that is now over, I discovered that somewhere in there I have a cuckold fantasy, and I can paint a wall with that one. Like, if I'm alone, it's a good time. It's a great time. But it also kind of destroys my self-worth because the betrayal of it is the very essence of the turn-on. I mean, the single person that you put all your trust into suddenly...
No. I'm going to stop you right there, and I'll let you continue in a minute. I don't think the betrayal is the essence of the turn-on. I think the betrayal is the essence of your emotion, and you have mixed emotions. You're turned on, and you're scared. Halloween!
Ooh.
You're scared.
Spooky.
Because, you know, betrayal. And that's what it's the essence of. But really, the turn-on is sperm wars. The reason you paint that wall is because your sperms go crazy. Your sperm count goes up. You enhance that ejaculate when you feel that the woman that you adore, whether you're with her or not, is with another man who also has a penis full of sperm. And this is what I call sperm wars. You're fighting with him, but you're not really fighting. It's a good kind of fighting if you have a good attitude. And this is why orgies are so much fun. And this is why threesomes are often fun. And this is why cuckolding can be fun. But our society tells us, no, this is bad, 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 bad. You should be monogamous. And if you're not monogamous, number one, you're a bad person. And number two, somebody's betraying you. What if they're doing it right in front of you? Then are they betraying you? Well, no. And what if they're not doing it right in front of you, but you kind of know about it, and you know that they're that way. And it's not really a betrayal. It's just part of life. And it's part of what turns you on, because as we were saying earlier, who wants to be with a woman that no other man wants? And I know I'm being sexist in those pronouns, but you get what I'm saying. Although I do think men have that feeling about women more than women tend to have that feeling about men. Or let me rephrase that. People that manufacture sperm, people that make semen, whatever gender you want to say you are, if you make semen, your semen will increase when you perceive competition, because the semen is like a football team. It's not like an individual fighter. They go, should we assume the whole football team? Well, yes, because there's others on the field. But if you don't think anyone else is on the field, hey, you got her all to yourself, and you know, maybe you can get it up, but it's not as exciting. You're not painting the wall as when you think, hey, she could be with someone else. And if you can get a handle on all of that and share that with someone, wow, you're going to have a great sex life. One reason porn is so popular, and the kind of porn that's the most popular, is a guy with a girl. And who's watching that usually? A guy. He's watching a guy with a girl. So he's the cuckold, in a way, in that formation. It's a little bit scary, but it's also a turn-on for a lot of people. And it's one of those things that most people don't want to talk about.
No. But, I agree with everything you said. And really what's very important is to ask him down there, how's it going?
Oh, man.
Huh?
Yeah, of course.
Is it hard? Is it, what, is it partially soft? Is it limp? I mean...
He has a message for you.
Oh, yeah, he has a message, and he goes directly through the nerve, bypasses the central nervous system, and goes right into your brain and says, here's what's happening. Down here.
Yeah.
Then you have to put those two things together, and sometimes... he's in a rage, you know, and he's horny, and, you know, and you're like this nice guy with this thing that's like,
well, I think
crazed.
That's definitely true for the cuckolding fetish. Is for a lot of guys, they would like to be a nice guy with a nice girl and not be excited by this. They don't want to be excited by the idea that their spouse or significant other is with someone else, and yet they do fantasize about that, and that's what turns him. And yes, I guess it's a male pronoun because it's got sperm. Watch my sperm wars video.
You know, I often think that the person that's jealous is not the person, it's the actual thing. The thing that's jealous is his partner below.
Oh.
You know,
you mean if he's not turned on?
No, what I'm saying is that we really don't take the relationship between the brain, the fantasy, and the need that a part of you needs something.
And that need, is that need a jealous need?
It can be very jealous, yeah. Dick versus dick.
But what if your dick is hard over the idea that your lover is with someone else, but you're jealous?
It's up to the dick.
Well, for a lot of people, it isn't.
Right. But
a lot of my clients.
Yeah.
That's what they're struggling with.
Because they're scared.
Yeah.
That's all. They're scared. You know, that's okay. You know, I get it. You know, hey. Yeah. I mean, what do you want to be married to, a kitchen maid or a hooker? You know, I always pick the hooker.
You have always picked the hooker.
I mean, not a hooker in the hooker.
No, I feel like if I have to choose of which I am, more of a hooker or a kitchen maid, I think I'm more of a hooker.
Right. Me too. I think that's great.
All right. So cuckold away, everybody.
Yes.
It's
enjoy yourself.
Scary.
Free thyself.
Ooh. But it's not the scariest thing. It doesn't have to be violent.
No, absolutely
It's about not. Sharing. Bonobos are always cuckolding. Bonobos are all about that. Actually, I did a little interview today with a journalist from Futurism. I think it's a magazine online.
Online, yeah.
And I don't know if I should say his name, but I will say that the subject is for an issue called The Future of Pleasure. Maybe I will say his name. Why not? He's a journalist.
Absolutely.
He probably would like to
be
famous.
Did he say don't say his name?
Right. James Anderson. And he's got a generic name anyway.
James Anderson.
He has a funny middle name, though, but I don't remember
what
that
is. Don't say
that. No, James Anderson.
Don't know who he is.
No, everybody knows this is a generic journalist named James.
Okay.
You can call him Jim.
No,
anyway,
it's very interesting.
The specific focus that, as he put it, his editor wanted him to take with an article was changing our genes to be more like bonobos. And I don't think he meant our Levi's.
Or bonobo pants.
Well, yeah. Bonobo pants are a better fit. Yeah. I'm not a geneticist. I did think he should try to talk to Dr. Brian Hare from Duke University, author of Survival of the Friendliest, along with Vanessa Woods, who I had on my bedside chat a little while ago, which you can watch on drsusanblock.com, YouTube, Facebook, everywhere.
Yeah. I was just going to say, you see, we're not floozies.
We're Susies.
We're Susies.
No, we're Susie floozies. We are. Floozies. We're floozies with a PhD.
An age.
An good, age.
A good
old floozies.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I said, I don't think I can talk to you about genetics so much, although I do know that bonobos are 98% genetically similar to human, and the part that is different isn't only what's different, because also some of the difference comes in how our genes are expressed. Don't ask me to explain that. I'm not a geneticist. But I feel strongly that bonobos are the way they are, which is very sexual, very peaceful, very female empowered, with the males enjoying their lives. I think they are that way for cultural reasons. I think they create that culture. And I think that humans could too. We have just chosen not to. And I don't mean you necessarily. I certainly don't mean me. I mean, as George Carlin would say, our owners, our progenitors and our owners. And that's a whole show in and of itself to talk about that. But I do feel that it is a lot of cultural difference that sets us apart from bonobos. And I don't think bonobos are exactly a blueprint for us. I do think they are an inspiration. You know what I forgot to tell him about? I should tell him about this. The baboons that became more bonobo-like.
Oh, yeah, right.
Because,
right.
You know, genes are not destiny.
But they're like chips. You educate them. You educate your genes.
You have to.
Yeah.
When they're as complex as ours are. I think there are different levels to all of us on the chain, and that other animals and even, yes, vegetables, plants, have a greater intelligence than we give them credit for. But still, there's a lot of culture involved with social creatures like humans and bonobos and common chimps. And gorillas. They have a culture, and we're not that far apart genetically, really. And genetic changing, I mean, what are they going to do? Make us hairier? I don't know that I want to be that. I tried to talk to him about that, and he agreed with me. In fact, he bought my book himself. He didn't even ask me for a review copy.
Well, that's quite
honorable.
He
was enjoying it, and he said, I really want to tell my editor to get this in, that we have to get this in. But I understand.
Of course, yes, yeah, yeah.
I took a glance at the website. It's very sciencey and futuristic, and they want to talk about genetic engineering.
But you're bigger than life, so.
I'm larger.
Larger, right.
That's what and, the Pasadena Star News and the LA Daily News has to say about me, thanks to the Arcadia Politburo of zoning, zoned out. Zone heads.
I'm sorry. Really.
They're very upset that we have a lot of beds.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the mattress.
I've always
madness.
Done my shows in beds. I always like to have a bed. I like to relax. I like to have sex in a bed, and I do that in the middle of the day sometimes. I like to have other people have the opportunity to use the beds. I have a lot of beds, and some of them are stored, some of them are not. I saw a show last night.
Oh, yeah.
That had a tremendous amount of beds. I thought, this is in the dreams of the Arcadia Zoning Politburo. In their mattress madness is this vision of Squid Game dormitories, all beds on top of each other with people sleeping in them. And it is a case in which the beds are stored. And people are sleeping
in them. In the storage room.
In the storage room. It's basically a huge storage room. We have more privacy to some degree because this particular building is made up of lots of little rooms. It's not a big storage room. Although, come to think of it, we have had our beds in a big room before.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we had people sleeping in all the beds and staying there and doing shows.
Yeah, we're now right-wingers, you know what I'm saying? We're like lefty, kind of hippie-ish, kind of thing. And that's how I grew up, to share.
To share, like the
And
Lobos.
To be nice to girls, my mother would always say.
Only girls?
Only girls.
No, boy. She told you not to be bad to the police.
Yeah, to the police, right. Oh. For they not know what they do or something like that.
Yes.
Which gives him a lot of leeway. That's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't agree with her. With
I mean, yay.
Well, you have to find ways to connect with the good in people.
And fucking caring.
Mafia says, I know you're always in fantastic spirits and not depressed. It's been years. You don't remember me. Lol. Who's that?
I don't know. Obviously, you don't remember him.
He's probably not vaccinated, though. So I don't know.
Are you vaccinated? Because if you're not vaccinated, you can't.
But he can call.
Yeah, you can call. That's free.
He can call.
Yeah. Who's he going to call?
Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters!
Oh, my gosh.
Happy Halloween!
Hey, speaking of Ghostbusters.
Season's beatings.
Oh.
Go ahead.
We have those big paintings by the guy from what we were just talking about.
Michael Gross.
Yeah, from...
he produced Ghostbusters.
Right.
And he also was part of National Lampoon.
Yeah, and you know what? We have two beautiful pieces by him.
You want to buy them?
You got money?
Because he gave them to us as a donation.
To the Institute,
so that we would be able to sell them when times were tough. Are times tough?
Not yet.
They could get tough. We might have to mount a legal case against the Arcadia Politburo.
Spooky.
The spooky story of the week is really got nothing to do with sex, I don't think.
Uh-oh.
It's the Alec Baldwin story.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, no. Jeez. I'm scared already.
It's a scary story.
Mm.
Although there's a solution.
Mommy.
Don't have real guns on movie sets. That's the only solution.
Well, it's supposed to be, what do they call them? Not real guns.
Like a prop?
Prop guns. Mm-hmm.
It's a prop gun that uses a real bullet. That's a real gun as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, look what happened to Brandon.
I don't know. Maybe it's not an AR-15. It might have been an old-style rifle. And why the hell are they making cowboy movies?
That's a better question. No, sorry.
Well, yeah, what? Dang.
No, I know why they're making cowboy movies. Because you like them.
You.
Not me.
No. Them.
People.
You.
You love it.
People love the cowboy look.
That's right. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
You want to step outside? I want to take a ride.
It's pretty bad, but I don't see it as a good horse for the right wing to ride, although they're riding it, you know, saying, Alec for prison. I mean, it's horrific. He is negligent. It is not murder. I mean, Dick Cheney did as bad. He shot his friend. Of course, his friend didn't die.
Still, there was quite an assault.
It was.
On the guy's head.
Oh, this just comes back to gun violence. It comes back to not the bonobo way. It comes back to amosexual homicide. It comes back to, yeah, people kill, but guns do. Guns kill. Sorry, but there's no other purpose to a gun. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure some people use it for, like, masturbation purposes.
Or photo shoots.
Dang.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can use it for photo shoots and stuff like that. Without,
but
anyway.
That could be like a fake gun that you could use for a photo shoot or for a movie. They shouldn't have real guns.
These real ones. I don't understand.
Well, they're not always.
I mean, why are we even talking about guns?
Yeah,
how about talking about having a really great life and...
Yeah.
Pleasure.
I'm sorry.
No.
What do you mean? Why are we talking about guns? Because I brought it up. That's why.
Yeah, of course. Uh-oh.
I think we have something to fight about.
I don't want to fight.
I want to say that it's bad, but that's why we're talking about
it. Yeah, of course.
You said you wanted to talk about a good life or
something. No. I want you to talk.
So it's good. There's not too much time left.
Okay. I want you to.
So go talk about a good. Why don't you sell something? For God's sake, talk about a confidence man.
Okay.
How about selling something?
Okay, here's how this works.
From
Bonoboville. We put up the money and we share it as much as we can. And for 30 years, this show has been on the air. And no government subsidies, none of that. And so we give this material all out for free, basically, except for certain areas. And the best way to find out about us, Dr. Susie, myself, and anybody here, is go to Google. Put in our name.
They might not know how to spell Dr. Susie.
I said Dr. Susan Block.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And also Susan, or Susan Block Therapist. I've been there to Google, checking on all those words. And they all come to you. Yeah. Anyway, I didn't mean
come
to.
Come to me.
Come to me.
Come to me.
Oh, my beautiful angel.
Well, Halloween is coming to you, so I hope you're going to dress up as something sexy. It can be scary, too. Unless you're already having so much sex, you just want to wear something that will turn people off.
Maybe I'll just be a priest.
Well, that's sexy.
Or come to get you in your confessional.
I don't know, though. Priests are getting a weird reputation. Maybe they're not as sexy as they used to be.
Because my grandmother had to eliminate 3 or 4... of her priests that lived at the villa because they were caught masturbating behind the curtain.
Well, they're horny.
Yeah, of course they are. And their dick has taken over. I don't care if I'm a priest or a general or I'm Mr. Dickie's going to go do this. And then you're fucked. Yeah.
Now, what about the nuns?
Ah, the nuns are a whole other story. Yeah, the nuns. Yeah, I grew up with nuns. I went to school my first day with nuns. And I did not think that these little persons with white and black things on looked very friendly. And so that got me started off on the wrong foot. And I just knew that there was something wrong. And I lasted till lunchtime. Then I ran home across the street where my grandma and my mom and my aunt lived. And they were bringing me up. I was a fucking terror. Ah, this fucking kid. So, I don't know why I'm telling you that, but you can support us. You can buy stuff from us. I'm not going to tell you what to buy. I'm not going to mandate that you buy something. But, you know, it's free will. And it's sharing and caring. That's what it's called. Other people do it with Raise My Bucks and, you know, these sites. Well, we like to do it directly so that we're friends with you and not with...
with Indiegogo.
Yeah.
Or,
or some other such entity that I know nothing about.
You're did you give out the number?
Oh, no, because I don't know it.
Oh, okay. So let me tell you about this phone number here.
Do you know the
number? If you call during the show, we might put you on the air.
No, that's not it.
And if you call during the week, you will get to leave us a message. And the number is 626-461-5212.
Google us? Just Google. Go to Google. And Google us. Okay? And if you can support in any way, great. Every little directly to us, no middle peoples. You know, no bankers, no exploiters, just... Okay, Dr. Susie.
No bakers, no candlestick makers.
Thank you for the poetry. That was great.
Yeah.
Oh.
Really very nice.
Well, thank you for being part of my coven, because I often hide my witchiness, or try to, but it's Halloween, so... You reveal what you often conceal, and you conceal what you usually reveal. You wear a different mask. It's a strange time. It's hard to say to go forth and ride your brooms through Halloween into the night. But, you know, you gotta enjoy Halloween somehow. Maybe... not with as much craziness as usual, or maybe crazier than ever. These days, I'm not even sure. You should be careful. And yet, it is a good time to express yourself and get out there, put on a costume, and let your freak flag fly. Let your kink flag fly. Because Halloween is the climax to kink month. And then what are you going to do? Well, then it's Naughty November. It's also Striketober, so let's support our striking workers. Fuck the rich. It's also Smoketober, which is why you hear an occasional cough on this show. And it's also Inktober for all you tattoo people. It's time to free Julian Assange.
Mm.
And it's time to go the bonobo way. Go bonobos. Make like bonobos, not baboons. And no, it is not a question of altering our genetics. You know we'd make ourselves worse. We would not make ourselves better. Let's be ourselves, which is probably more bonobo than we know. So, season's beatings. Be good, be happy, be a witch. But try not to hurt anyone, including yourself. Make like bonobos, not baboons. Make love, not war. Don't be a war criminal. Make love to someone you love tonight, even if that someone is you. Eat your own candy. It's Halloween. I love you.
Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web.